A group of local power brokers demands accountability at Jacksonville City Hall. Good morning and live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. Just ahead this morning, a conversation with former JEA executive Mike Hightower about the new coalition, OurJax.com. We're already getting your calls. Join us. It's 549-2937. Then later, Theater Jacksonville celebrates an entire century of success. That's coming up, but first this hour, a new coalition of business and civic leaders is speaking out about the aborted attempt to sell JEA. Their coalition is called OurJax.com, and they say their mission is to promote transparency, integrity, and accountability in local government. OurJax.com launches just as a cascade of revelations keeps coming out about the failed attempt to sell JEA, this city's public utility, to a private company. Retired JEA lobbyist Mike Hightower is part of OurJax.com. He's also the former chair of the Jax Chamber of Commerce. He chaired the board of the U.S. Naval Academy, served on the JEA board for 16 years, and was chairman of that board for 4 years. He joins us now in studio. Mike Hightower, it's a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Well, good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And it's 549-2937. What are your questions for Mike Hightower about the new group, OurJax.com? 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org and tweets to @MelissaInJax. Our Facebook page is also open. So what is OurJax.com, Mike?
Thanks for asking. We're pretty excited. We are an organization that was formed after one of the most controversial governmental dealings in recent Jacksonville history. The actions that we all have read about at JEA, the ITN process, it has just, from our perspective across this community, I think the two words are outrage and enraged. And so what we have done, we have put together a group of civic leaders. Everyone, it's entire from across the whole community. It's a grassroots advocacy group. We are not political. We are 501c4. We're about education. We're about advocacy. And what we're really trying to do is, and we encourage everybody to join us, by the way, Jacksonville has a long history of coming together and doing things together. And what our coalition has formed is to return to those things that Jacksonville has always been known for: transparency, integrity, accountability, and local control here in Northeast Florida. I have the distinct pleasure of, there are three members of our board. I am, unfortunately, I'm the one that today is here, but my other two colleagues who are extraordinary folks. One is Michael Ward, I think, who's been on your program before.
Right, the former CEO of CSX.
Who is an incredible man. And the other one is just this young entrepreneur that we all are just in awe of, and that is David Miller, who is the president CEO of Brightway Insurance.
Sure.
And so we've come together. As I said, we're a 501c4. We're not about politics. We're about public education. And we're encouraging people to join. We now have about 20 of us. Today, by the way, you are the first folks that we are live talking to. We went live. We were born at 5 a.m. this morning, and you're the first person we're talking to.
We appreciate that. And you can go to OurJax.com to learn more. So as you ask people to join this group, what is your ultimate goal? What do you hope to accomplish? Because as we speak with you, we're receiving new revelations almost by the hour, such as JEA apparently paid the Chamber of Commerce $25,000 and told them to use the money to hire a lobbyist who had an undisclosed relationship with former JEA CEO Aaron Zahn. This morning, City Councilman Matt Carlucci sent an email to media publicly calling for the resignation of the mayor's chief of staff, Brian Hughes. He's seen as being at the center of the controversy around JEA and also allegations of corruption at the city's child welfare agency, the Kids Hope Alliance. Are you joining in these calls for figures close to the mayor to resign? What is your goal, Mike?
Let me go back. We probably have more questions than we have answers. Let's do that. JEA is 125 years old. There's a reason why we call it Our Jax, because it's our Jacksonville. And there are people in this town who love JEA. It is an incredible organization. It has one of the most dedicated folks, a group of folks that I've ever known. And everybody is there. They are well respected. And what has happened is, going back very quickly, you know, people have always looked at what the value of JEA is. Should it be sold? Because it is a very successful organization. But what happened was that for whatever reason, this ITN, this whole process about going from should we or can we, and all of a sudden it got legs and it moved. And our community, which is served by JEA, which serves 1 million people in 4 counties, were left out. And they didn't understand why. They just heard it was going. The city council was left out. And when people asked, the next thing we knew, there was a secret meeting in Atlanta. And so we can kind of think about this. You know, Jacksonville has a history of coming together. We don't like to pay taxes, you know, but we love our city. And one of the things that we do is that, and if you go back to Mayor Austin, you go back to all of our mayors in the past, whether it be Godbole, whether it be Austin, Peyton, Delaney, they've all had challenges. And what they did is they had community conversations. And JEA is a huge industry. It's a huge part of our community. And what happened when this most important thing that is the basic, fundamental, everyday things that we do, water, sewer, and electric, all of a sudden, nobody's a part of it. And that's where they were. So what we're trying to do is have a discussion. We want to have the resources. We want all the documents. We want all the information out there. We're going to post it. We want to make it available so that people understand what is going on. Michael Ward, who is an extraordinary CEO and an extraordinary leader, he made a comment the other day that has really resonated with our group. And it said, the ITN is dead, but the concept is still alive. And that does not reassure people of where we are. So our idea is, let's get all the information out there. Let's get what we're doing, why we're doing it. And then let people understand it. And then if we have to make a business decision, then people understand. But right now, everybody's in the dark.
It's 549-2937 as we speak with former JEA Vice President Mike Hightower. Let me get your reaction to new reporting in the Times Union in a series of text messages that the TU was able to pry out of JEA after a lot of work. There were text messages between you and former CEO Aaron Zahn, as he had apparently been taking political advice from Mayor Curry's top staffer and his political consultant, not you. And that was your actual job, JEA's chief of public affairs. You texted Zahn that you feared your advice was being ignored and suggested to him that the mayor's office might like someone different than me in the mix. Zahn copied and pasted your texts and sent them to HR. You texted, let's be honest, you stated that you are working the political issues with Brian and Tim. That's Brian Hughes, the mayor's chief administrative officer, and Tim Baker, the head of Curry's political operation. We've also learned that Tim Baker was sitting in on private meetings between the mayor's office and JEA as the privatization scheme was being strategized. And so from your position as the former head of public affairs for this utility, how do you react to the perception that the mayor's office was improperly inserting itself into utility operations and to allegations of corruption around this entire process?
Well, let me address the issue of Aaron Zahn talking with those. He is the CEO. Every CEO, it's his prerogative to decide who he wants on his team and who he takes information from. That's the prerogative of any CEO. You know from my resume, I've been doing politics for almost 50 years in Jacksonville. I was head of Blue Cross, the largest health insurer, for 35 years. A CEO, that's his prerogative. My issue was, that's what I was supposed to be doing for you. If he made the decision that he wanted to talk to someone else but me, that's his prerogative. My issue was, then I'm not part of the team, and that's your prerogative, and, you know, that's it's his prerogative. And I respect that. Listen, that's how it works. And that's what I told him. I said, you know, obviously if you want to create a different team and I'm not on the team, that's fine. I have no problem with that.
Sure. Is that why you retired in June from JMA?
Well, he made a choice of who he wanted to listen to. I've been doing politics for 50 years, represented a great company, one of the best companies in the whole world. I've helped three presidents, three governors, four mayors and about 500 candidates. It's his prerogative. He wanted the mayor's staff to help him more than me. It's his prerogative. I'm a big guy, and I didn't bring the skill that he wanted to his team. He wanted someone else, and so.
But was it appropriate for him to be speaking and working this closely with the mayor's political staff over this matter?
The CEO has the prerogative to listen to who he wants. Obviously, he liked their advice more than mine, and that's his prerogative. It was time for me to move on. I have no regrets. I love the 4 years that I worked for JEA. I love JEA.
Clearly, Mike, you feel that something was amiss because you're part of this new organization, OurJax.com.
Well, you take those experiences you have and you look at what the environment's going on, and I'm no different than the people, the 20 that were at the table. I'm no different than Mike Ward or David Miller. I just think that like they do, that transparency, integrity, accountability, and local control is not in the conversation today.
And do you agree or disagree then with Councilman Matt Carlucci that in order to restore local control, transparency, and accountability, the mayor's right-hand man, Brian Hughes, should resign?
That is a decision the CEO of this city needs to make. That is the mayor. That is his prerogative. I respect Matt Carlucci. He's one of my best friends in the whole world. That is a political conversation that he and the mayor have. We are all about advocacy. We are about education. And we are about bringing this community together to help it heal. Our purpose is to get all the facts out of how we got here, why we were here, and so that we never get here again.
And is the appropriate vehicle to do that through the state attorney's office or perhaps a federal grand jury investigation where witnesses could be subpoenaed without immunity from prosecution?
That is the decision of those organizations. What we are doing is we want to use the resources and the public advocacy to get all the information. Once all the information is out, the appropriate investigative organizations will make their decisions to do that. We're not going to do that. We just want to make all the information available. We have a new website, and I would ask all your listeners, be patient. Maybe Mike Miller and David Miller and Mike Ward are a little more proficient at IT, but we're sort of building this railroad as it goes down. The website, as we get all this information, we're going to put it up. Be patient with us, but join us, and we're going to try. And if you have an idea of making our organization better and more effective, but we're about advocacy, education, and we're going to help the folks who are asking for information candidly. We're going to make the resources available so that the people who need that information, that there's resources for them to go get it and be able to vet. Because until all the information is out there, and until all the questions are answered, this community cannot heal. It cannot move on, because right now the JEA is sucking the air, the oxygen, out of everything else that our community should be talking about.
And let's go now to some calls for Mike Hightower, retired JEA vice president, and he's part of the new group, OurJax.com. 549-2937 to join us. Lois is in Mandarin. Hey, Lois. Good morning.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Yes, this is Lois Chepnick, and I think I know Mike Hightower.
Hi, Lois. How are you doing, Lois?
I'm happy about your committee, and I hope you'll bring some more women onto it. But that's not my question. You will remember JCCI. I was involved with it. You were involved with it. It was a local organization that studied local issues and brought people together with disparate views on things. and it was allowed to die. There was no funding for it from the city, from United Way, and it was the one central location where studies like these could be had. So I just wondered, is there any thought in your research and in your advocacy of having some type of an organization that can really give you the data behind the issues, bring people together, and cause them to make good decisions for Jacksonville?
Yeah, thanks, Lois. You know, and JCCI was in our building here for a while. Thank you. That's Lois Chepnick on the line.
Well, let me real quick. Lois is a neighbor of mine. Lois's her leadership in JCCI is legendary. I hadn't really kind of thought about it until I heard her on the phone. Lois, I really hope you join our group. We need you. Your institutional knowledge of this community and what we should be doing, you can help us build this railroad. You know, there's probably a lot of similarities. Lois, when, you know, I'm sitting here looking at these words, transparency, integrity, accountability, local control. Lois, that's what you were all about. And you were one of the city's greatest advocates. You got our website. I'll give you my phone number. We need you. You can help us build this thing. You can help us make it better. And, you know, candidly, Melissa, those are the kind of people that we're going to have. Candidly, Lois, we're as I told you, there's 20 of us. We had to create a board. There were three of us. When you see the folks that are already there, there are going to be a lot of your friends, and a couple of them were with you before. So it will be a homecoming for you, Lois. So join us.
Now, you've talked a lot about JEA with this effort. Does OurJacksonville.com plan to call for investigation and accountability into other issues that have bedeviled the mayor's office, whether it's the Kids Hope Alliance, controversies over school funding, controversies over consultant contracts for recently retired staffers at City Hall, and more?
We are all for the investigative process. And the way that you do that is you get all the information out there. Right now we're focused on JEA, right? Mm-hmm. And we are now born 5 a.m. this morning. We want to put what we have together to work through this. Out of that, we could go to other things, but right now we're kind of drinking out of a fire hose. If I can get people like Lois Chepnick in there, you know, maybe down the road we could do this. But right now, we're building our train. Our focus is going to be on the issues that concern JEA. If other information comes up, we're going to post it on our website and we'll go there.
549-2937. Linda is in Deerwood. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Good morning. I am so happy to hear about this. But Mr. Hightower has been very diplomatic because he said he's been 35 years a politician. I'm looking for some hardcore public servant to say what needs to happen. And what needs to happen is we need prosecution of white-collar crime. I don't remember the last time. And we do have city council people that have been whatever, and they all seem to be Democratic and brown. I don't know what that's about. But we need transparency, and we need the tribes, Democratic and Republican, to lay it down for the city. We need everybody at the wheel. So this needs to be, you know, I am someone who's very passionate about the city. I don't have your resume, but I think I could hold my own with you. So we need everybody, not just the former CEOs, but we need people who are out here who are passionate about my job. And we need, when we put out there that we need white-collar crime prosecution at the federal level, we don't need anybody to bar that or tap dance around that. We need for us to say whatever it takes to clean house so that we can have the city that we've been talking about for 35 years to come to its fruition.
Okay, Linda, yeah. Thank you, Linda. Thank you. Let me just ask this, Mike. The public feels that this city is corrupt. I think it's fair to say that. The majority of the voting public out there sees corruption in Duval. Do you agree?
I think there is a perception that some people have not taken their public service, whether it be appointed or elected, they have not I think they have let the public trust down. I do not believe a city is a building, is a group of buildings. There are people within the city limits who have, I think, betrayed the public trust.
Who?
That's the public perception.
Who do you think has betrayed the public trust?
I'm disappointed in a lot
of
people.
You're retired. You can say whatever you want, you know what? Mike.
You know, my dad taught me something a long time ago. Unless you have absolute trust, I mean, absolute evidence of what you can do, of what you're going to say, what you do is you do what you can do to go find the evidence or find out what's doing. That's why we are doing this. We want all the data. We want all of it out there. And then, as Linda has said, put together a group and we'll let the chips fall where they may.
We have Suzanne Jenkins on the line, former city councilwoman. Suzanne Jenkins, good morning. Go ahead.
Hello, Suzanne.
Good morning, Michael. I, too, like Lois, was calling in to say I volunteer to serve and help get this going and get it started. I'm pretty good at grassroots and been known for transparency and tenaciousness.
I didn't get a chance to tell Linda. Linda? We need you. Come on board. Suzanne, make sure that Linda and Lois join as well. How about that? We need you. And if anybody stood up and called them like they did, Suzanne Jenkins, let me tell you did it. We need you. Call Linda and call Lois and come on down.
No shortage of volunteers out there.
Thank you, ladies.
All righty. Let me get to some tweets and Facebook comments for Mike Hightower, retired JEA vice president. Here's a tweet. We want to help as citizens. Thank you, Mr. Hightower. We can see the corruption and want to help expose it and hold accountable those who are. We can see that Curry is behind most of this, but he clearly knows how to cloak his involvement. That's from Twitter. On Facebook, lots of comments. Michelle writes, $10 million. Who is responsible and will anyone be held accountable? That's a reference to the $10 million JEA spent on pursuing the privatization effort. That's basically for naught now. Susan writes, did Florida Power and Light talk Curry into pushing to sell JEA to them? Did Curry get commitments from the current JEA board? Was Zahn hired to sell JEA? Did the JEA board violate our charter by not alerting the city council auditor before they spent over $10 million on trying to sell it? These are all questions that you're trying to get answered with your organization, Mike. Joe emails, when did Mike Hightower first learn about the ITN? Was it discussed when he was working there?
The ITN, good question. ITN. I'm going to take a leap of faith. As you probably read from another article, I was not in the loop the last couple months. I think I learned more about the ITN, and I'm going to take a leap of faith. There'll probably be somebody from JE that will counter this. I don't think that I really understood that ITN was the go-to, that was the action step, until I read it in North Carolina after I had decided to retire and leave. I think it was, I don't think I heard the ITN, and honestly, I don't think I did before I left. I know that the five options that people have heard, the status quo, then there was that one about we'll get rid of half the employees, then there was something about maybe we should sell, then there was something about a co-op, and then there was something an IPO. Those discussions, I think, were at a very high level when I was there. Maybe because Mr. Zahn wanted a different management team. I wasn't part of the circle. I don't know. But the ITN was an action step before we had a community discussion. And I think that's why people are upset. I think that's why they're enraged. And, you know, maybe the ITN was a good business decision, but doggone it, JEA affects every person in this community. And you know what? Every person in this community is a ratepayer. Everybody in our community has water, sewer, electric, or some one of those. Unfortunately, parts of our community don't have sewer, but they're all ratepayers. And you know what? They have a right, a fundamental right as a ratepayer to be a part of a decision that affects their lives every day when you turn on the lights, flush the toilet, or whatever. And they have every right to be upset. And that's why we're talking about transparency, integrity, accountability, and local control. Anybody who's listening, if we don't talk, please go to ourjax.com. We need you, and welcome aboard.
Here is a tweet from the handle JEA is ours. They ask,
great organization.
Why is Mike Hightower only speaking out now, they say?
Good point. I don't want to talk about what I was doing when I was over there, but there was a number of the folks, the linemen and some other folks, that when we would talk offline, I did the very best I could, being inside, as you probably read in the morning paper. You know, when the CEO decided that the skill set that I had and my opinion and or what expertise that he thought I didn't have, he went someplace else. To your question, what I didn't do is history. I can't change it, but I can, with everyone's help, I can help make history. So join us and let's make history. We can't change it. Let's make it.
Again, the website is ourjax.com. Mike Hightower, one of the board members of this organization, retired vice president at JEA. He's held a number of other prominent posts over many years in Jacksonville. And so we thank you so much for being with us today. Thanks for joining the show.
Oh, thank you, Melissa. And thank you to all the people who are either tweeting, which I don't do very well, and to the folks that called in. Ourjax.com. You know, I'm not, you know, we need you. Call us, and we need your help. Not only to be a part of our organization, help us make our organization more successful. If you believe in transparency, integrity, accountability, and local control, come on down. We're there.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Melissa, and thank you to everybody that was listening.
A quick break, and up next, a major milestone for Theater Jacksonville. 100 years on the First Coast. That's next.
I'm David Luckin, inviting you to listen to the Electro Lounge for the best down-tempo and new jazz at 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday nights, only on 89.9 FM, WJCT.
For 25 years, WJCT's radio reading service has been providing daily readings of your local paper, the Florida Times Union. Perhaps you have blindness or need help reading the paper. You can listen to it being read online at wjct.org/radio reading. Or we'll send you a radio tuned to radio reading service. It's free because radio reading gives voice to the printed word. Call 904-358-6308.
WJCT and the Florida Theater present Canadian acoustic guitarist, composer, and producer Jesse Cook, performing live at the WJCT Soundstage on Tuesday, January 21st, 2020, at 8 p.m. Jesse Cook blends rumba, flamenco, and elements of new age and jazz to create his uniquely global sound. Don't miss the opportunity to see Jesse Cook live at the WJCT Soundstage. Visit wjct.org/events for more information.
Hi, I'm Melissa Ross.
And I'm Tom Hudson.
Together, we host the Florida Roundup, a weekly live statewide call-in show looking at the biggest issues impacting the Sunshine State. If it's making news in Florida, you'll hear it on the Florida Roundup. So join us each Friday at noon, right here on 89.9 WJCT. Welcome back. Well, Theater Jacksonville is marking a huge milestone this month. The oldest community theater in Florida, Theater Jax, is celebrating 100 years of continuous local theatrical productions. Yeah, think back to 1920 when they put their first play on in the San Marcos Square. Isn't that incredible? Well, they're also premiering a new production this month. It's called Shadowlands. Here with more, we're pleased to welcome Executive Director Sarah Boone and Shadowlands Director Gary Weber. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Sarah, let's start with you. What an incredible milestone, 100 years on the First Coast. Theater Jacksonville is a treasure. So first off, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yes, we're very excited about what's going on. And I have to say that we're one of the oldest theaters in the country. And one of the reasons our doors are still open is simply because we're in Jacksonville. And Jacksonville is always supported through volunteerism, the theater, because it is a community-based theater.
Do we know what the first play at Theater Jax was in 1920?
Okay, I can tell you the first play in 1938, which was in our new building at the time in San Marcos Square.
So it used to be in another building.
Right, it was a traveling theater. It was called Boy Meets Girl.
That's an eternal theme, still just as popular. Okay, so as you celebrate 100 years, I know, as you said, the community partnerships that you've forged over the years are so important. And you're also launching a big new endowment campaign.
Yes, we are. In a celebration of the centenary, we have started a $1 million endowment campaign, which we are right now, with the help from a matching grant from the Weaver Family Foundation, we are at $600,000. So we are actively looking for people to participate in that to get us functioning for an operational purpose going forward.
Okay, more about that in a moment. But first, let's talk a little bit about the new production at Theater Jax. It's C.S. Lewis's Shadowlands. Gary Weber, director of the show. C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite writers. And I believe Shadowlands was also a movie, if I'm not mistaken.
It was. They made it in, I think it was 93, with Anthony Hopkins and Deborah Winger. It was before that, it was on stage, and it was adapted for the big screen. I think originally written for BBC in England, and then stage, and then to the big screen after that.
What is Shadowlands all about?
It is all about Lewis's relationship with Joy Davidman. Lewis married late in life to a woman, a divorcee from the United States. And so this is the story of their relationship from beginning to end.
And it's about loss and grief,
right,
isn't it?
Yeah. Joy Davidman, even when they were first beginning to know each other, she was battling cancer. And so through the course of their relationship, she struggled with cancer and ultimately lost that battle to cancer. And so Lewis had written about pain and suffering before meeting her, and then after wrote one of his great works, which is A Grief Remembered. And that was really written about his experience walking with Joy through the death and dying process.
So you have an amazing cast with Shadowlands. And what is also so exciting is that after the play, you'll be doing a talk back discussion on the issues of grief and loss in collaboration with the Renewed Life Counseling Center.
Yeah, that's just going to be on the second Sunday matinee on the 19th. So that'll be immediately after the show for anybody who wants to participate in that.
Because so many people have lost a loved one. So yeah, it will be so cathartic, I think, to be part of that.
Well, and the show itself is, this sounds like such a downer topic, but actually the show is full of hope and life. And so I think people would be surprised to see just how much Joy is literally in the show, besides just the fact that that's the character's name.
Now, Shadowlands debuts Friday night at Theater Jackson, runs all through January. But Sarah, after that, you've got a full lineup of great shows and some other fun stuff, like a jazz brunch in March.
We do. Our big celebration for the 100 years is going to be on Sunday, March 22nd in San Marcos Square on the street. And we have a special guest artist, Noel Friedlein, will be playing during the brunch. And we're very excited about that. In fact, I'm just announcing this for the first time on your show.
Wow. And he's wonderful.
He's a
great performer.
Yes. And we will have tickets on sale for that probably in a few weeks.
And you will be returning to the stage yourself in the lead role of Kate in the new romantic comedy Love Quest. That is in February. So
yes,
people know that you run the theater, but they also know what a great performer you are.
Oh, well, thank you. It's, being back on the board is going to be fun for sure.
Right. So an incredible slate at Theater Jacksonville. People need to go and get their tickets now for Shadowlands. And as you said, Sarah, They need to support another 100 years of theater, community theater in the city.
We hope so. Yes, thank you.
TheaterJax.com.
You bet.
For tickets, for support, for being part of really just an incredible cultural institution on the First Coast. So Executive Director Sarah Boone and Shadowlands Director Gary Weber, break a leg, guys. And thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Up next, host Jorge Rivera of St. Augustine Tonight, as that show debuts this month, too. Plus, later on, we'll have Matt Pittman with some ideas for your weekend. Don't go away. New season of St. Augustine Tonight debuts this month, hosted by Jorge Rivera. The show airs live before a studio audience at the Corazon Theater in downtown St. Augustine every Tuesday night. We've got a preview right now as we welcome Jorge to our studio. Jorge Rivera, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I'm a big fan, and I'm just feeling great being here.
It's exciting to have you. So St. Augustine Tonight has taken off in St. Augustine, and you're getting ready to kick off a new season. Tell us what we can expect with the show.
Well, you know, we just had our first show 2 days ago. Yes. And our guests were Hurley Haywood, Cindy Stevenson up in the Florida House. We had Kevin Bernardo's from the circus, Lynn Kehoe, who has Shift Now. So, you know, the guests we have are... We try to find great guests, but we also bring someone who's totally unknown and just opens up in the show. So it's awesome.
You do this at the Corazon Theater, and you bring in a studio audience. What's that like?
Well, you know, when I did the first season, I did it also at the Corazon. I think we had 8 people. Now we can't hold them in. We're just packed, standing room in the back. It's just amazing.
That's great. I'm sure that first show when you saw 8 people in the audience, you thought, oh, man. But you grew, but you stuck with it.
Well, yeah, you know, you're bringing a concept and people are saying, why, this ain't LA or New York. I said, no, but there's enough people in this town that is such a cultural town. We gotta have a show for a little season and just do it once a week, you know.
That's right. So people can come on Tuesday nights to be in the audience, but they can also check out the shows on the web at firstcoast.tv.
Right, right. So right now I'm editing Tuesday's show. It should go up tonight. Then I send a blast and then people watch it. We're also streaming it live through Facebook when we do the show. So people can watch it too. If they just go to St. Augustine Tonight and Facebook and join, they'll get a notification.
And you are so right about St. Augustine, a small community with a huge artistic vibrancy, and you're trying to capture that.
Well, yeah, celebrate us. You know, we're you know, that's what I love about your show. You constantly are covering St. Augustine. You know, I tell people we usually get 30 seconds in the news. That's about it. And you just spend so much time.
We love St. Augustine, and we hear from St. Augustine listeners all the time. So, I try to make an effort to consistently touch on what's happening in St. Augustine. And so it's so exciting to have you. And I'm excited because I'm going to get to be on your show.
Yes. And what you were doing, what we did with someone else, Jessica Clark, I guess people know her from television. And you had your beginnings in television, too. And so what we did is we video our interview. and then we will project it on the screen the night that you're our guest. So we'll have two physical guests and we'll have a virtual guest, you know?
Now, do you have aspirations to take your hosting game beyond St. Augustine?
Well, you know, I was at a party not too long ago. Some people from Atlanta who just are opening this giant studio said, "We've been watching you, my friend. And I think we'd love to bring you in the Atlanta audience. You already have the template." And I said to them, you know, when you guys are ready, you got my phone number. But, you know, wherever it goes, I love people. I think I could be very funny. I can carry the rhythm of something like that. And so far, it's been successful.
So Jimmy Kimmel and all the rest of those guys, they need to watch out.
Oh, come on over. Be my guest.
And, you know, there's finally a woman host on Late Night, Samantha Bee. But I don't think George Lopez is hosting a show anymore. Everyone else doing it is a white man. So we need to change that up a little bit, don't we?
Yeah. But it's funny you say that because when someone said, "Have you ever done a Tonight Show?" I said, "I grew up with Johnny Carson, Dinah Shore, Oprah." You can go on and on and on.
Oh, sure. I always say I've tried to model this show as a combination of the styles of Johnny Carson.
Yes.
Tim Russert.
Oh, wow.
And Oprah.
Oh, wow.
So think of me as a mashup of all of those people.
What a formula.
That's my secret sauce. Mm-hmm, so again, if you've never been to St. Augustine tonight, now's your chance.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday night.
Come on out Tuesday night. This is free, right?
Well, we have a members. People who are members, but at 6:30, we open to the general public. So whatever seats are available, that general public could just take them, cost them nothing.
Come on down to the Corazon in St. Augustine for St. Augustine tonight. Be part of the studio. It's a live studio audience. It streams live on the web. And if you've never been to the Corazon Theater, well, that's another gem too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That building was something that'd been neglected. And Carla Wagner came in and turned it into something very... much what you find in Europe, what we call an art house. So anything goes in there, from a play to a show like mine, foreign films, poetry, you name it. It's
and if someone wants to be a guest on the show, how can they do that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that meet me in parties.
You're in demand.
I'd be a great guest. You know, I look for them. I'm always have my ears open. I collect people in my head and I fill in a season and then I keep people for the next season. So anyone really can be a guest if the story is interesting enough. You know, mosquito collector, I don't think I'd need someone like that. But I'm looking for people, you know, have stories and you need to keep an audience on the edge of their seat, you know. And I think this first show did that.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, I can't wait to come see you. It's Jorge Rivera. He is the host of St. Augustine Tonight. The new season kicks off Tuesday night at the Corazon Theater in downtown St. Augustine.
So March 31st.
Yeah.
That's our last show.
Yeah. So get your seat there now and check him out online at firstcoast.tv. Jorge, kudos to you.
Thank you. I'll be talking to you soon. All right. Thank you.
Again, that's next Tuesday night. But in a moment, we have some other ideas as our own Matt Pittman takes us all around town for this weekend. We'll be right back.
Cypress Village, a continuing care retirement community, features resort lifestyle amenities which allow residents to remain active and vibrant. The new alternative to long-term care insurance, 901-4004. More at lifecare.brookdale.com.
The New York Times has praised Stefan Jakiv's remarkable purity of tone, which he couples with the controlled intensity this concerto demands. Happy New Year. I'm Courtney Lewis. Our season-long celebration of Beethoven continues with his violin concerto. The symphony is joined by violin phenom Stefan Jakiv on January 10th and 11th. Tickets and more at jacksymphony.org.
Can America and Iran pull themselves back from the brink? The president says he acted to stop a war, not start one. Our military might give Donald Trump the advantage, but is this a fight that can be won on the battlefield? I'm Todd Zwillick, the latest from here and from the Middle East. That's next time on 1A.
Today at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. As the world watches Iran, there are big developments in Libya, where the UN-backed government is trying to hold on to power as rebels seize control of the coastal town of Sirte. One side is backed by Turkey, the other by Russia. So what's next for Libya, and is a proxy war developing? That's next time on Here and Now.
This afternoon at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
On the next Radio Lab, the white world of college debate is upended
yeah.
by a team of black debaters.
Sometimes you need to duck walk on them.
Dead set on changing the rules.
Sunday at noon on 89.9 WJCT.
Around Town is brought to you by St. Augustine Distillery, handcrafted small batch spirits.
That's crazy.
Welcome back. Well, finally this hour, there is so much happening all around town this weekend. Matt Pittman of Main Events Jax has our curated list of ideas for your weekend. Hey, Matt.
Hey, it's always kind of slow at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
So last weekend was a little slow. This weekend's kind of slow as well, but there's still a ton of stuff going on around the First Coast, and we'll kick it off with the largest Christian music annual tour that always comes to Jacksonville. I'm talking about Winter Jam 2020. Now, this tour is huge, and this is going on tomorrow night, 7 p.m. over at the Veterans Memorial Arena. $15 at the door will get you in. Details at jamtour.com. Headliners this year, Crowder, Hillsong Young, and Free Red. There's going to be multiple speakers. So if you're into Christian music, this is the tour that you're going to want to go check out. And again, that's tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
And very family-friendly. Bring the kids.
It's definitely family-friendly, too. And from what I understand, they really do it up. The stage show is amazing. They have the crazy light show. So they turn it up. Again, jamtour.com is where you can get details.
Okay. At the Times Union Center Friday night, it's Romeo and Juliet, the ballet.
All right. So the reason that I picked this is actually the National Ballet Theater that comes out of Ukraine. So they bring 55 Ukraine dancers. They come over here and they'll do it up for you tomorrow night, 8 p.m. over at the Times Union Center again. Tickets start out at only $11, and it's timesunioncenter.com is where you can get details. So if you do, go to their website, look up the video, and when you see the production level that they put on, it's going to be pretty amazing, and that's over at the Moran Theater at the Times Union Center.
And they have no comment on President Trump and Joe Biden, I'm sure. this is simply ballet by Ukrainian artists.
That's true.
Okay, now let's take it over to our neighborhood, Springfield. You and I both love Springfield, and this Saturday night, it's the second Saturday night market.
That's right. We're officially bringing this back. The company that I work with, Main Events Jax, we put this on. We curate about 15 or so different vendors. We'll have a food truck out on Saturday night as well. We'll have a live DJ, a full bar. It's a fun event going on in historic Springfield. You can go to maineventsjax.com to get details, but it'll be a fun time. We actually put it on over at the skate park behind the Block Skate, behind Bark, and behind Bobby K. So
it's really taken off. It's fun. So I encourage everyone to come out.
And it's a great community event. And from what I get, it's going to be 82 degrees.
Perfect.
On Saturday. So it's going to be beautiful. So come out and enjoy it. Again, maineventsjax.com is where you can get details there.
All right. That's Saturday night. Also Saturday night, the Icemen come back to Veterans Memorial Arena.
That's right. So this will be kicking off over at 7 p.m. on Saturday night. Tickets only $10. They have family four packs available as well. JaxIceman.com is where you can get details. Saturday night as well is going to be the free hat giveaway for the first 3,000 fans in attendance. And a cool thing that they're doing, a portion of the merchandise sales are actually going to be donated to Australia's brush fire relief effort. So they're doing their part over at the Iceman. Go to jaxiceman.com to buy your
tickets.
That's
excellent, because as we've watched those fires rage in Australia, people feel so helpless, and this is an easy way that they can help them.
You're so right. A lot of people are kind of, hey, where do I go? How can I donate? This is an easy way for you to donate and get some entertainment with the Jacksonville Iceman.
Okay, and then also Saturday, kicking off in downtown Hemming Park, is the Times Union Half Marathon and 5K. That's early Saturday morning.
That's right. Did you do the resolution? Are you one of the people that said, okay, this year?
Yeah, basically.
That's so a no. All right, so yeah, so this is...
So by that, I mean I will not be running in the 5K.
I don't think I'm going to run in it either. But if you would like to, it's the inaugural kickoff that goes on Saturday morning. It goes from 7:30 till actually 1:30, because after the 5K and after the marathon, they're going to have food trucks out there as well. They're going to have delicious beer. They're going to have live music. You can go to timesunionhalf.com to get details there. You'll see Melissa and I on the streets waving everyone on.
Yeah, we'll cheer them on. Can you register right on site?
You can register right on site, but I'll tell you this. Do it now because you'll save money, and it'll be $39 for the 5K, $69 for the half marathon, but that includes, I think there comes with some free food as well. So
excellent.
Go
excellent.
Ahead, get yourself into shape this weekend.
That's right. Now, I want to make a quick mention, too. This Sunday, January 12th at the Ramallah Club on Parental Home Road, an art exhibit featuring artists from across the Middle East. This is a mix of Arab artists representing countries from across the region, and it's some really stunning art. This is Sunday, 3 to 6 p.m. at the Ramallah Club. $10 donation there. Huge Arab-American presence in Jacksonville. So I would recommend checking that out, too. That's a really interesting thing to do this weekend. And always great to see you, Matt.
It's
Matt Pittman of Main Events Jax here as he stops by every other Thursday to get us ready for the weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers today. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Our show director today is Brady Corum, Michelle's son. The Corums know what they're doing when they're running that board. And our station news director is Jessica Palumbo with Bill Bortsfield, our digital editor. We always value your feedback. Send those comments and emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And if you missed anything this morning, catch our rebroadcast tonight at 8. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. We'll be back again tomorrow at 9 a.m. for our Friday roundtable. Looking forward to connecting with you then. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.